The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. So as we mentioned at the beginning of Mass, this Sunday traditionally has been known as Gaudete Sunday, which is from the Latin meaning to rejoice. So our entrance antiphon had the word rejoice, our first reading had it, our responsorial psalm, our second reading, rejoice, 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 so much so that we figured when we got to the Gospel, for sure the word rejoice was going to be there. But as you just heard, it's not. Rather, we have the story of John the Baptist who came to give witness to the light. And that light is Christ, the light of the world. And so I was thinking to myself, how could we put those two things together? Light and rejoicing. How do those two things mesh? And as I was thinking about it and praying about it, what came to my mind is that expression we often use, and I hope you have friends like this. There's one particular friend that I'll tell you about. But wherever he enters the room, he always lights up the room. He lights up the room right here. It's right in his face. He's always got this ready smile on his face. And his name is Father Jerry Hahn. He's my best friend in the priesthood. He's up in St. Anthony's in Northvale. And I met him about 16, 17 years ago. He was a young priest at the time, and it's actually kind of sad, which is another homily for another time. But it was my first time meeting him, and he just greeted me with a smile. He greeted me with this warmth that I found really captivating. We've been really like best friends ever since. And I've noticed over all of these 16, 17 years, every time he greets me, and not just me, but every man, woman, and child that he meets, he always greets with this warmth, this smile. He lights up every conversation. He lights up every single room. And I wish I could be more like him. I try to be a happy person, but he's really got it really well. So that's the idea of smiling and something very important. And Pope Francis, early on in his pontificate, spoke about the fact that we as Christians should smile a lot more. He said, you know, many times I meet Christians and they have this like kind of sad look on their face. And he said, that's really not that appealing. It looks like you just came back from a funeral or something. He said, as Christians, we have so many reasons to rejoice that God became one of us, that God was willing to die on the cross for us, this promise of the resurrection. There's so many reasons to rejoice. So Pope Francis said, we have to start with a smile, right? We have to start our Christianity with a smile, like the beautiful smile that you have on right here in the front row. So as I was thinking about that, it reminded me of a book that I read about 3 or 4 years ago. And this woman, her name is Marianne LaFranche. She's a social scientist. She's a researcher up at Yale University. She's written many different journal articles, but this is like her first real substantial book. And the title of the book is called Why Smile? She's dedicated years and years of research to understanding this human action that we all do called the smile. Isn't that a great thing to research? I mean, there's a lot of other things you could research, but that really is. So in her book, which I don't want to bore you with, but she looks at cultural factors that go into smiling. She looks at historical perspectives. She even goes into the biology of it. You know, there's two sets of muscles that we use when we smile. The zygomaticus major muscles, do you know the name of muscles, right? Goes from the corner of your mouth up here to your eyes or your ears, and that's the muscles that we can control. So if I had a camera and I said, okay, say cheese, right? We all put on that smile because we can control those muscles. But for a smile to be real, as Professor LaFranche talks about, there's another set of muscles, and it's called the orbicularis oculi, and they're the round muscles around the eye. And she said that's how you can tell when someone is really smiling, because when you really smile, you get the little crinkles at the eye. And guess what? You and I can't control those muscles. We can control the zygomaticus major muscles, but we can't control the others. So she said, if you look very carefully, you can tell when someone's giving you a fake smile and when someone's really smiling because they're deeply rejoicing in something. So why am I talking about all this? Where am I going? This is the high point of the homily, so I want you to stay with me for 2 or 3 minutes. And this is my gift to you, my third and final point. There's a style of prayer that I've been using for myself about the last 30 years. It's been around for about 500 years, but sadly, most Catholics I meet are not familiar with this style of prayer. And it was made very popular by St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit order, and it's known as a composition of place or imaginative prayer. And I've been doing it for some of the smaller groups in our parish, and I'm going to be a little bit daring today, trying to do it with, whatever, 300 or 400 people right now. So I definitely need your collaboration. I just need you for 2 minutes here. And it's imaginative prayer. We're going to use the gifts that God has given us, and we're going to try to place ourselves, as St. Ignatius says, into a gospel scene. So I want you all, if you're willing, to close your eyes right now, and I'm going to guide you through this meditation, which I hope will help you to live this season well. And I want you to picture yourself living 2,000 years ago. And I want you to picture living about 6,000 miles east of here in a little village called Nazareth. It's a tiny, quiet, small little village. You live there your whole life with your family and all of its generations. And it's always been a very quiet, pleasant, peaceful town. But just recently, the emperor has said that there will be a census. And everyone has to go to their place of origin. So your quiet, simple little village has now been inundated with hundreds and thousands of people. And you're one of the innkeepers in town. You've had to give up your own bed so that your in-laws could be with you and comfortable. You've asked your own children to give up their beds and to sleep on the floor so that their cousins could be comfortable. You spent this entire week preparing the house and using every single square inch. And because you run one of the inns in town, it's like a bed and breakfast, all of your neighbors who had overflow from their houses have sent you other people. And you've had to feed these people. And you've been working all week, your entire family. Every square inch of your house and your bed and breakfast you're in are occupied. It's getting late at night, and there's a knock on the door. You open the door slowly, and you see there's a young couple. He looks like he's in his early 20s. She looks like a mere teenager. And she's 9 months pregnant. And I want you to look at their faces. I want you to look at Mary's face. Look at Joseph's face. They've just been rejected by 3 other innkeepers. You try to be very polite. You listen to their plight. You listen to their story. And then you say, "I'm really sorry, but I have no room for you." And you close the door. And as you close the door, you see their faces one more time. And you see the sadness get even deeper. And as you walk back into your house, call it an inspiration of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden it occurs to you, "Oh, you know what I could do? I could let them go into the stable." So you rush back to the front door, you throw open the door, and you shout out at them, and you say, "Please, please, don't go away. Please come back. I'll let you stay in my stable." And I want you right now, using your imagination, picturing yourself there, I want you to imagine the smile of Mary. The smile of Saint Joseph. He comes over to you and gives you a big hug and a handshake and thanks you so much. Because you've been warm. You've been welcome. And if you could see the modern technology, I think you would see not only their smiles, but you could even see the smile of the baby Jesus inside of Mary. And you could see your own smile. Because you did what was right. You helped those who were in need. So I want you to open your eyes. We're in Wyckoff. It's the year 2017. I hope it's been my little Christmas present to you. I hope if you like that style of prayer, that you will try to incorporate it into your life. In the hustle and bustle of all of these days, go to the manger scene. St. Ignatius says you can be anyone. You can choose any character. You can be Mary. You can be Joseph. He even says at one stage, if you want to, you can be a donkey. One guy after the other mass says, "Oh, Father, I think I'll be the donkey. You know, I've occupied that role." But whatever you do, the importance of this time is to really be with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. So that on Christmas Day, you can do this meditation again. And you can really, really smile as you imagine in your prayer holding the Savior of the world in your arms. And I can guarantee you, your smile will be deep. It will be broad. It will be a full, full smile. Amen.